Good morning. On behalf of Steve and Susan and all of their families, thank you for being here today as once again we remember one of God's saints, Harry Dawson, very special to many of us, a special friend to myself. He had such a contagious smile, always a smile, and frequently after morning services on Sunday, he and Betsy would go through the line, shake hands, and more often than not, you were on your way to play tennis. He's in God's presence now. No more brokenness. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your love that is everlasting. How that you reach out to us throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout our lives, beckoning us to listen to your voice and to follow you. And so we have, even to this place this morning. We thank you for Harry, all of the good memories that we have. We're grateful for all who have taken this moment to be here. And so we would ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us today, reminding us that you give to us new life through your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. We now begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You'll note in your worship folder, which serves as a guide today for us, words at times where that you will be asked to participate. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation. And together, he comforts us in all our sorrows so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. O Christ, our Savior and Lord, we praise you for your death on the cross for our sin, for your glorious resurrection, which gives us the victory and our place in the Father's house for eternity. Because you live, we shall live also. We sing. As for many of us, this was a special passage for Harry, and he had requested that it be read at his service. Let us speak these words. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, rod and thy staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please be seated. Betsy, 67 years. It's a long time. Yet I'm sure to some degree, as you look back today on all those years together with Harry, it seems like they just flew by. Yet so many good memories. Thank you, both of you, for setting such a wonderful example for the rest of us as to what it looks like to know the Savior and to walk with Him through good times and challenging times, and also what a faithful marriage is as well. God bless you today. And Steve and Susan and the rest of your families, God bless you as well. I know these past few years have been a challenge, especially as you watched your dad and your mom's health decline. Still, you spared nothing in making sure they were safe and that they were well cared for and loved. Time after time, you demonstrated that love in your acts, your presence, being with them, making arrangements, making sure that they had the medical care that they needed. And you continue to do that for your mom and will until our Lord Jesus takes her home to be with Him. Today we celebrate not only the life of Harry, but also we celebrate the resurrection and God's gift of eternal life. Our hearts are once again encouraged by God's powerful word, words of our Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. Hear these words. All the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given to me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. I think sometimes we may ponder and perhaps even question why our Heavenly Father seems to delay in the home going of a loved one whose quality of life has been significantly reduced and compromised through aging, but more often through illness. I've been there, as well as my sister and her husband and Judy, my wife, in caring for all of our parents who have gone home to be with the Lord, and yet a number of them went on for some years dealing with issues very similar to Harry's. Still, the older that I become and the more time I spend in God's Word, which is a light and a pathway for us, I find myself relying more and more on God's timing and wisdom and less on my own. Rather than asking the question, why hasn't God taken my loved one home yet? I believe the real question is, Lord, what is it you're wanting to do here? What are you wanting to teach us? Our text for today is taken from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 11. As you have noted, those words are printed in your bulletin for your ready reference. Words of Paul as given to him by the Holy Spirit. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation. As an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than that one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is certainly a text that Harry would connect with. After all, he loved God's word and regarded it as a means of grace. He had experienced time after time the life-changing power of God's word in his life and in the lives of those around him. He also appreciated the Apostle Paul, how that this man's life had been radically transformed when he was brought to faith on the outskirts of Damascus. How Paul had been instrumental in spreading the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world. And last of all, the metaphors and descriptive words that Paul frequently used in his writing here. Words that would speak to a man like Harry, who himself was hard-driven, highly motivated, an organizer, a person that focused in on detail, who delighted in building and repairing most anything. And not only did Harry enjoy making and building things, he also exercised the gift of doing it right the first time. And all of this he passed on to others that were in his life at that particular moment or moments, colleagues at work, neighbors, people here at St. Paul with whom he and Betsy worshiped with, faithful every Sunday. But more importantly, to his family. He was an example. In Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul had spent some time with others and sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, helping to establish yet another congregation. In writing to them, he said, "You know us, for we lived among you." And then Paul goes on to say, "And you chose to imitate us, even as we imitated Christ to you." And then he goes even further and say, "And you have been a living example to others throughout the area." Your dad was that example. Years back, when my body was young and flexible, I loved playing the game of golf. And so because of that, I became a fan of many of the players of that time, many whose names I'm sure will be familiar to those of you who are my age or older. Gary Player and Arnold Palmer, Billy Casper, Jack Nicklaus, just to name a few. And over the years, the tour developed a tournament that was initially a father-son golf tournament in which they would pair together and would play that game and compete with others on the tour of the fathers and their sons. And then it expanded to include daughters as well. And I can remember a number of years back and watching the round of that tournament after worship on Sunday, cameras had been focusing on the swings of dads and then the swings of their daughters and sons. And in this particular time, they showed Jack Nicklaus's swing And then his sons swing. I think it might have been Steve. And they said, isn't that remarkable how similar these are? They're almost identical. Your dad provided that swing for you throughout life, living among you, that you might imitate him and imitate Christ, who he molded his life after, with the help of God's Word and Holy Spirit. As you read and consider this morning's text, you cannot escape the Apostle Paul's humility. Paul was a man of extraordinary talent and experience and background, a brilliant man, a real intellectual, fluent in numerous languages, versed in the philosophies and the religions and the cultures of his day. Furthermore, he had traveled throughout the Mediterranean world. In another age and period, we would probably look at him as a Renaissance man. After becoming a follower of Christ, he became actively engaged as a missionary to the Gentiles. That was his calling that God had called him to be and to do, to share the good news of the gospel to the Gentiles, of the planting of numerous churches, mentoring who knows how many church workers, and faithfully following the leading of the Holy Spirit in writing down a significant part of what we have today as the New Testament. And yet, and that doesn't even cover half his resume, but still Paul was always quick to give God and others in the church credit and honor. Here he was that type of man. He was very good at what he did, but he was never a braggart. Steve and Susan, over the years, as God gave me the opportunity to visit with your dad and with your mom, it became so very clear of their love for Christ, their trust in him, and their desire to follow him. As I said earlier in the service, it was always my joy to greet them on Sunday. Sometimes a quick chat before the service would begin. Sometimes it was during that moment when that we would, as a congregation, greet those around us. At other times, it was after the service. Sometimes it was at the various church events that were conducted here. Some of those events were in the fellowship hall, the old fellowship hall. And some of the ones where there was such great participation, as you can well understand why when I tell you what it was, there was lots of visiting. And they were the annual fellowship dinners around Thanksgiving time, where you could barely get in the door, and people would be queued up for some place. And yet, even though the emphasis was on the eating and the food and the raising of funds for the LWML and other areas of service in the church, people found time to fellowship, to pull out pictures of their children and grandchildren, and just to find out what was going on. Today, unfortunately, we have become so busy and live in such a hurry-up world that in some areas we have lost that gift of fellowship, of just letting our hair hang down, for those of us who have hair, being transparent and sharing life with each other. Within the church, that fellowship is called koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But as I noted through all those times of contacts and connecting of the incredible faith that this couple had, I realized that it was a personal faith. It was a faith that rested on a strong foundation. And it was a faith that was very clearly observed by others. It was not a faith in your face, but it was a faith that was patient and kind and filled with mercy. It's a faith that leads me to share with you this passage. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Betsy, that's what you and Harry did all those years, and you continue to do. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Because of your deep love for your parents, I could not help this last week but to go back in my memory bank and recall of how my sister and her husband and Judy and myself cared for my mom in her last years. In her last few years, we moved her from Austin up to the area where that we live by the airport. And we found a very good facility where that she was comfortable and safe, and the care was excellent. So every day, we would swing by and visit with her. More often than not, Judy would swing by in the morning, and I would swing by in the evening. And like Harry, she too could not remember a lot of things. But I do recall this, that in making it a practice to sharing scripture passages with her, particularly the more well-known passages and the Lord's Prayer, she would speak those words with me. That although that dementia had robbed her of so much, it could not rob her of God's Word, of the power of God's Word. Steve and Susan, like your parents, my parents too kept their eyes on Jesus. So I could identify with you today, and God bless you again. There is no better foundation than Christ Jesus our Lord. And he was definitely Harry's foundation. All of those years out at Lockheed and in the various positions that he held there, in the working relationships and the planning and all that he did, Christ was a foundation of his life. It didn't matter as he aged that his body and his mind were gradually wearing out. He still trusted in the Good Shepherd to lead him. Yes, even though he dealt with memory issues in his later years, as we've said, and what an example for all of us, his eyes remained on Christ, the one who would be with him all the way home. In the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus gives us this promise: I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Harry has crossed over. With God's help, he fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. And he's gone home to be with the Father forever. Amen. Please notice in your worship folder, the words to the Lord's Prayer are included for us. That I will lead in prayer beforehand. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are once again to know that we need not go through life consumed or held hostage by fear for the unknown. You tell us plainly in your word, for all who trust in you and whose lives are redeemed through the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus, who died for us that we might live. There's no need to be anxious in leaving this world. You have provided a new place for us. For that your Son says in the book of Revelation, behold, I am making all things new. Once again, we thank you for Harry, for the impact that he has had on so many lives, the example he has set through your help, your encouragement. We now pray that you would comfort each of our hearts, especially family. Continue to lead us, and may we know that although there are many voices in this world that call us, there's only one who truly is the way and the truth and the life. And his name is Jesus. And he calls us even this moment to follow him. And so, Lord, it's with your Son who gave us these words that we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, Jesus spoke these words, I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And together, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. My dear friends, God bless you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace, a peace that lasts forever, that is totally different from the peace that the world offers. In his name, amen.